Listeners, you're in for a treat. We have a trio, actually, of interviewees today. We also had Chef Harry Nayak once before, a few years ago, if you might recall that. And we have the company's CEO and founder, Sameer Malhotra. And we have the COO, who is obviously not from India, Virgilio Felix. All of them, however, are from Cafe Spice, and they have to die for products that we've been enjoying. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Before we talk about where you came from, the main topic is going to be you've really recently expanded your facility, your product line, and all that. But let's start at the beginning. Is when did Cafe Spice start, and how did it start? What was it intended to be?
Okay, I can take that one. This is Sameer Malhotra. Cafe Spice started as a restaurant chain in New York City. The first Cafe Spice was opened down by NYU and on 11th Street and University Place in 1998. As a family business, we expanded the restaurants. We got to about 8 or 9 restaurants and opened a commissary in Long Island City, Queens, with the goal being to open more restaurants. What happened is in 2003, Whole Foods Market opened their store in Columbus Circle, New York City, right downtown. Right. That was their first major store there. And they said they're going to serve Indian food daily on their at their store, on their hot bar. My father and I found that very interesting, considering we had seen this in the UK for many years, and it was great to see it coming to New York City. We went to the store, and they were trying to make their own food from scratch. And weren't really able to keep up with the volume because it was such a busy store.
Yeah, I've been there. We've been in that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great store. It's really, you know, it's right in the middle of Manhattan. It was a great entrance to New York for Whole Foods. Well, long story short, we told them, you know, if you need some help making your Indian food, we have a commissary not far away that can do it. And that's where the company model just changed. We changed from restaurants to, you know, with that strong partner of of Whole Foods, Cafe Spice became a local partner of theirs, expanded throughout New York. And now, I guess, 21 years later, we are a national company. We have just opened, as you mentioned earlier, a new 70,000 square foot USDA facility in Dutchess County, New York, in Beacon. And, Chef Hari has been instrumental. I know he's been on your show before.
Yes.
In all the recipes and expanding our own Cafe Spice meals and, you know, just expanding on the flavors. And I know he'll talk about that in a little while. But then also Virgilio Felix, who's been with us for also 17 years since we had
Wow.
our first facility in Orange County. And he's our chief operating officer, and he has executed the vision that we've had for this new manufacturing facility, which has the capability to take us to, you know, beyond just, other than Cafe Spice, we also do a lot of, we still do the hot bars for a lot of supermarkets and Whole Foods Market especially. And then we also do other cuisines. We are expanded into Latin and Thai cuisine as well outside of...
Oh, really?
You know, and then we do a lot of private label, co-packing, you know, so we're exploring all of those opportunities now with the new facility and efficiency that we have.
Well, you're essentially the essence of specialty food, aren't you?
Yep. We're trying to hit all the right... you know, we're very strongly focused on culinary. That's what sets us apart from others. And so even though we're making larger batches now, Virgilio and Hari, both their expertise together between Virgilio on operations and and efficiency, and Hari on culinary have made sure that every batch tastes the same. And I always say the number one ingredient is love, right? So that's what it is in our cuisine, and that's.
Have you met? You undoubtedly have met Mahir Jaffe, who's a lady Indian chef.
Oh, Mahir
Jaffe in New York.
Well, my father opened a restaurant in New York City in 1983 called Dawat, D-A-W-A-T. And she was the chef she was the consulting chef. I don't know, Hari was a little kid at that time, so we didn't know him. But my father reached out to Mahir Jaffe and
She was an actor. You know that.
Yeah, she's an actor. Yeah, yeah, so of course. And, you know, we went up to her country home in New York, and she's like, do you want me to be the chef of your restaurant? I've never done this for anybody. And she wasn't a chef. She was a consulting chef, right? It was her recipes.
Yeah,
but
right.
She met my mom, and she was just so wowed by her palate that she said, okay, as long as she's in charge of the kitchen, I will give you my name for your restaurant.
She's a wonderful, wonderful woman. I mean, she really is. Your mother probably is too.
She is as well. They both, yeah. But Mahir Jaffe was very instrumental in my dad's rise in Indian food with this first restaurant.
Well, I mean, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, everywhere you look, there's a new Indian restaurant. How are you different from these? I mean, they're everywhere. I mean, it's like it used to be in England and the UK, but it was always anglicized Indian food there. But you seem to be more dedicated to more authentic.
I'll let Hari handle that question. This is Samir, but I'll let Hari handle that question.
Yes, just
focus on our cuisine.
Thank you, Samir. I never get. It's always nice to hear the stories again and again from Samir. It's such a big history Cafe Spice has. This is Chef Hari. I'm the culinary ambassador for Cafe Spice. So your question of what sets us apart, I think Indian food is having a moment now. What UK was many years ago and has always been. And the U.S. is finally having that moment where Indian food is becoming mainstream. And I used to think it'll take a long time, but I see it in the next 5 years. I think it is going to be one of the main mainstream cuisines in the world, especially here in the U.S.
Let me tell a little story.
Of course.
In 1960, I went up to Cambridge University to study. And my college required that I dine in dining hall, except once a week. Once a week you could opt out. And we went to an Indian restaurant called the New Bengal. we consumed an offering from the goom. And we'll be horrified by this. The next thing we did after that is we repeated for spaghetti bolognese.
Yeah.
And that was enough carbs to get us. That was enough carbs to last us until next week.
Yeah, but let me ask you, Harry. I mean, Peter's been eating most of the food that you sent, but I've tasted some of it, and it somehow tastes healthier than a lot of Indian food that I've eaten. And I mean, basically, I learned through this program that India is like the diabetes capital of the world, right? But I also know that there seems to be a trend to actually produce more natural flavors, more control over carbs. And in general, make it healthier. And add on that, and it fits perfectly with the trend that we see all the time now, is more and more vegetarian options Could you comment on those observations?
Yes, absolutely. I think Indian food is one of the healthiest cuisines. You know, it's a spice-driven, a lot of health benefits for the spices we use. I think what stands us apart is the ingredients that we use. We strive to source the best ingredients, whether it's the spices from India or anywhere in the world, and the best ingredients possible. And that's always been our goal, to give restaurant-quality food, authentic cuisine, bring it to the world. And quality has always been our number one thing that we always keep in mind.
Well, we just got a shipment from the spice company, Burlap and Barrel, which has the Cardos line, Marcel.
Yes.
Floyd was a good friend, and just so missed. But it's a healthier version, isn't it?
It is, definitely. The spices, especially the turmeric, has so many health benefits, and that spice is that yellow gold, what we call it, in all the recipes that we use. Number of health benefits. And yes, Chef Floyd, I have the spice line as well. It's amazing. Barca has sent a package to me as well. Amazing spices.
Yeah.
The Vindaloo is one of my favorites. Floyd's Vindaloo spice mix is one of my favorites. I use that a lot. And have you tried our the Vindaloo dishes? I know you got a shipment of a few dishes. What was your favorite out of them?
Peter, you're that's for you, because Peter's the one who's gobbled everything up before I hardly got it.
I think you got one of my favorites. That is the butter chicken meatballs. That's one of my favorites.
I did.
It did like that.
I didn't even save anybody any till the next day. I just peel back the plastic, put it in the microwave, and lo and behold, it's gone.
Nice.
So, how do you deal with, I mean, you have such an increase in volume. How do you deal with quality control when you've, there are two things I want to ask. One is, how do you deal with quality control when you've so expanded your market reach? And secondly, how do you adjust your marketing style and effort onto this much broader market?
Virgilio, I'll let you take this one.
Yes, yes. Hey, this is Virgilio Felix, Chief Operating Officer. So, great questions. Well, we adhere to the highest food safety and quality standards. We have a strong quality control team on staff. We have a lot of control points within our processes. We have certifications such as SQF certification, which stands for Safe Quality Foods, which is a global standard that's recognized throughout the world. And our goal is to always meet and exceed those standards. And we're constantly looking at ways to improve our processes, so continuous improvement is always top of mind. And, you know, the newest facility that we have in Beacon, New York, you know, represents a significant investment in our company's future. And this facility is equipped with the latest food processing and packaging technology. Not only does it ensure efficiencies, but it also ensures consistency in our production. It allows us to scale up production to meet our growing demand, but also the controlled environment and modern equipment help us maintain the highest food safety and quality standards. We want all of our customers to be enthusiastically satisfied with our products, and it is our job and our duty to ensure that we meet those standards. We do, you know, we are under the USDA regulation. We're also under FDA and New York State Department Agriculture and Market. We have a great relationship with all these regulatory bodies, and we we work to exceed their standards. We also have a robust team, not only internally, but externally. So as an extension of our quality control team that's on site, we also collaborate with Cornell University and their food safety experts. We collaborate with Rutgers University and also the University of Wisconsin to always stay abreast of the most upcoming and new technologies to enhance our food safety and quality programs.
Yeah, all those are great, great quality resources, all of them. Yes. Who actually, I mean, for example, how do you decide? You have a very strong identity for Indian food. How do you decide what other cuisines you're going to pick up to enlarge your market reach?
Well, so a lot of it does come from, you know, some internal research looking at what the market is demanding. Although, as Samir alluded to earlier, we are more than just Indian cuisine. We make Thai cuisine, we make Latin cuisine, and we've made a lot of things in between. We are a premier private label manufacturer. We service several companies. They may come in with their own recipes, or we may help them develop those recipes. And then the type of cuisines that we've made in the past are pretty robust. We've done things like Italian. We've done Ethiopian meals. We've done Asian. You know, we really work with our customers. We hear the voice of our customers, and we keep our ear to the market to really bring out, you know, food products that, you know, the public can enjoy.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is enjoyable, and it's right on the mark in terms of food trends. I think it pairs up very nicely with.
To touch on that as well, and this is Samir again. You know, Chef Hari is, on the Indian side of things, he's so well-traveled and so knowledgeable in the cuisine itself that he's always keeping his ear to the ground, if you say, yeah, for what the latest trends are in Indian cuisine. And we try to work those into our dishes as we're marketing to the entire country now. You know, the growth of our company has been Indian food being appreciated in the big cities and the coasts, but now with our partnership with Kroger, the largest retailer in the world, we're bringing the chicken tikka masala and butter chicken meatballs to the Midwest, and we're seeing that the cuisine is being appreciated everywhere.
Yeah, how does it work in the Midwest? I lived in the Midwest, and there wasn't much exotic on the menus in the Midwest.
It is changing for sure.
The
market
over,
is changing.
The what?
The market is changing.
Yeah, well, it should be, yes. I mean, everywhere it's changing, too.
Here's a funny one for you. And I just came across this the other day. I couldn't remember the details. But just to cut it fairly short, which well-known chef became the private chef of Howard Johnson Company, which had restaurants all across the United States, and in their restaurants across the United States. Who was the masked man?
I know. Do I get it?
I don't
well,
know.
You know, because I told you. Yeah. the answer is Jacques Pepin.
Jacques Pepin.
Oh, wow.
I will only say that it did not enthuse me to start at the beginning and go to the end of the menu.
Well, you see, the point you raise is interesting also is in terms of timing and being in this moment. When Jacques Pepin came to the United States, the only mushrooms he could find were those little button mushrooms in a can. And you know, it must be the same thing true with any kind of Indian flavoring or seasoning, because they're Indian cuisine, because now you can get almost any product you want, any ingredient that you want, whereas it used to be, you just couldn't unless you were in the industry or something.
My brain was meandering again the other day, and I was trying to remember the favorite chef of the population in the island of Macau.
Macau?
Off the coast of Southeast Asia.
I can't remember. I don't know. Do I know that answer?
We actually went to a restaurant in Chicago, of all places, where the chef was from, was cooking Macau style.
Huh.
I was irritated with myself because I couldn't remember the name of the dish.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Does Macau have a Portuguese influence into it?
Yes, very heavily.
So kind of like Goa does in India, right?
Similar to Goa.
Yeah.
Similar to Goa, yes.
Yeah.
It's amazing how regional Indian food is also getting popular. Yes, there's vegetarian plant-based interest for Indian food, but now I think especially the cities like the New York area, I mean, Indian food has just gone beyond the northern Indian style, which has been popular for the last 10 years. Now, southern Indian food, coastal Indian food, there's much more demand, and people know more about Indian food than ever before. So people are demanding authentic regional, what's been served back in India. You cannot fool people anymore. It's people know about food.
Well, we went to, I mean, it used to be in the UK, all you got were curry houses. But we went to a really fabulous Indian restaurant. Of course, the name I don't even remember. But the most surprising thing, in addition to the quality of the food, was they had nothing but Indian wines. And they were fantastic wines. I mean, I never even knew India produced wines until I ate at this restaurant.
The interesting thing is the owners of the restaurant called Chutney Mary, and before that it was Very Swami. There were two young ladies, and they were at Cambridge at the same time as I was.
Oh, really?
We were not in the same classes, but it came pretty close.
Those are the ones that we met, that I met?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Kamila Punjabi?
Just around the corner from St. James's Palace
was the
new restaurant.
Yeah. So, well, no, you've conquered so many hills and mountains at this point. I mean, what are you aiming at next?
This is Samir again. What are we aiming at? I mean, I think we've touched on the other cuisines we're getting into, but in the Indian side, you know, we just want to keep putting out delicious, authentic Indian food. We're excited that the rest of the country has caught on, you know, and we want to take the Cafe Spice brand to other parts of the supermarket outside of the deli. You know, we can look at, we're looking at, we are in specialty foods, but we are looking at other parts of the store, like looking at maybe spice blends, sauces, things like that. And, you know, and the other thing which has changed a lot over the last 21 years that we've been doing this is people are, you know, they're not scared of spice anymore. So in developing some of our newer recipes, you know, saying don't be shy with the spice when we're selling. It's like, you know, there's a lot of trends you see on social media. It's like, you know, you can see that the generation that's growing up today, or the millennials that are there today, they're not scared of spice. And that's, you know, in the past, maybe we'd had to tone down on certain items in order to be marketed around the country. We don't have to do that anymore. So,
I never did like this thing where you had to pick a number of the level of spice. I thought that was dumb because, I mean, I did a wonderful spice tasting, I don't know what you call it, program, I guess, with a chef where we had all these different spice samples and we had to describe our reaction, our our thoughts on the particular flavors of the spice. We could not mention the word heat in terms of chilies, if you know what I mean. So that it's the flavor. There's a very good book called Spice Heroes. Do you know it? I can't remember the author. But her king of spices happens to be one of my favorites, which is turmeric, of course.
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, I went through a phase where I had 2 cups of green tea with ground pepper and turmeric in it every day.
Wow.
Healthy. So you'll continue developing the Indian, and you'll probably increase the exposure to different regional cuisines.
Yes.
You'll continue to explore other cuisines. I don't know how to label them, the other cuisines. I mean, you mentioned a number of Southeast Asian cuisines. What is it you want to end up being as a company?
That's a good question. I mean, we want to be the safest and authentic producer of specialty foods. And we built this facility to be one of the largest in the country. So that is strong goals, but that's what we plan to do.
Wow.
Keep up the great work, guys.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
You.
I mean,
thank
you. We're a big fan. And you have a website. Maybe you ought to give our listeners a website.
Yeah, it's www.cafespice.com, CAFESPICE.com. You can see on there on our product locator where our products are available by putting in your zip code, but we're also available on Amazon Fresh and a lot of online platforms as well. So.
Yeah. Well, of course, Peter said even today, as he ate another one of
Peter got to eat the butter paneer and the chicken korma, which are 2 new dishes that have just launched.
Yeah, he likes the paneer. He had that today.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I think I'm throwing that for tomorrow. Did I give it to you today? Yeah, no.
And we've also,
he mentioned
we've also launched.
How it makes it deliciousness so simple. Lunchtime is a problem anymore.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do for lunch?
Just pop it in the microwave.
Yeah.
I wish these things were available when I was in college students. You know, it's great. Just load up their freezer with having these meals ready to go. And then another new item that Peter probably got to try was our non-toasties, which is, Hari can tell you a little bit about the inspiration for those, but like...
we didn't have any of those. What are those?
Oh, I was told they were sent to you. We're going to have to send them over, but...
What are they?
Hari, you want to explain a non-toastie?
Yeah,
toasties,
you know, in the UK, these grilled sandwiches, we've made ours with naan, and it's like the best grilled cheese sandwich you would have with, we have different...
Oh, no, no, I take it back. I did have those. I did.
You did?
I ate all of those.
Yes,
you
ate all those.
Great.
No, we loved everything. So, well, continued success to you. And it would be nice if we could get together for dinner sometime because I think you're fun guys.
Yeah, let's do it. Are you in New York? Or?
No, we're in Pittsburgh.
Not frequently.
You're in Pittsburgh, okay. Well, I will let you know if we're ever in Pittsburgh visiting our friends at Giant Eagle, which we're not selling to them yet, but maybe we will one day. And
Giant Eagle, we know them well. Yeah.
Yeah, but we are in Whole Foods there, though. But if we're ever there visiting, we'll let you know. But if you're ever on the New York side, we'd love to have you come see our manufacturing facility and do a nice. We do a great job with lunch or dinner over there too.
That would be fun, actually. We should start this traveling thing again. We don't usually travel in summer. And it's been,
okay.
Now I don't know how you've reacted to the new regs. And we went in December, we went to the UK, as we always do. They've reconfigured all the planes so that, you know, you're in business class. They've eliminated first class on all flights. You can't get first class. In business class, they reconfigured the planes, and so it's like half the space, and every other row seat is facing the opposite direction. So here I was with a wall that went up and down, with my head at one and my feet at the other, looking across when the wall was down at Peter's feet and his head at the other end, and I couldn't even straighten out my legs because it was in a corner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's not comfortable. That's not comfortable at all for
and
such
it's not
a long flight.
It's not cheap. I mean, the fares have been outrageous. So, anyhow. All right, guys. We could talk to you forever, and I'm so excited about your company and your product, and you guys seem like such fun. Anyhow, maybe our paths will cross and we could have dinner together.
Yes, can't wait. Come visit us soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Right. Bye.
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 Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Listeners, I have so many names in my head concerning this next few interviews, but what I think is we're talking right now to Karina Fonseca Sousa, and you are with what company, Karina?
Well, yeah, I work for Principe.
For who?
Principe.
Principe? Yeah.
You work for Principe. Okay.
Yeah.
Who we have interviewed about their San Daniele products. Now, where are you located? Are you in New York?
No, I'm located in Greeley, Colorado.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Where?
Greeley, Colorado. So you look.
Oh, okay.
So you look at the mountains sometimes,
huh? Yeah. I have the mountain right in front of me every day.
Right. That's nice, huh?
Now,
yeah.
Here's the issue that we've been following. I came across your company brand, Principe, and it's become complicated. It's actually transitioning its target market. Is that what I'm to understand?
No,
So
we are like a company that was born in Italy in 1945. And then we were like producing cooked hen sausage. And then in the 70s, more or less, we opened the Prosciutto San Daniele facility in San Daniele location. And then 2-3 years ago, we decided like, to bring this brand to U.S. Then we are like importing items from Italy, and also we kind of built a facility here in U.S. So we are also producing domestic products under Principe company. So we have like products made in U.S. and then a lot of products coming straight to Italy from here.
So now, I mean, you represent a whole bunch of companies, right?
Yeah. We belong, like, to a huge group with a lot of different brands, companies, categories. But, like, I'm responsible for Principe brand and all the products related with.
Now, are they made in the U.S. or are they made in Italy and exported from Italy to the U.S.?
Yeah. Mhm.
We
have everything. So we have like the items that we produce in Italy, that is San Daniele, Prosciutto di Parma, some mortadella, and all the salami, coppa, and some domestic prosciutto we produce here in the U.S. So we kind of have a combination between items that we bring to Italy, from Italy to U.S., and then we also have a lot of other products, Italian made, that is like here in U.S. So then we can kind of broaden the distribution on the U.S. and then also offering different types of salami that we are not currently producing in Italy. So we have like the two scenarios.
Now your San Daniele, is it called how would you describe it? Is it a ham? Oh, is it a prosciutto? Is it a prosciutto?
It's a prosciutto. Yeah, it's prosciutto. So when we were talking about Italian heritage, we always say prosciutto from Italy. And then if like it's regular ham, then we produce as like cold cut to put in the regular sandwich, then we call ham. Because it's a different process. Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, well, if we were in Bologna, for example, which we've been in Bologna. In Bologna, you get mortadella mm-hmm. with everything. Right?
Yeah, we got it. Yeah, you got it. And then prosciutto we produce in San Daniele. That's why we call this item San Daniele, because it can only be produced there. And then Parma is the same case. Can only be produced in Parma, so it's like authentic prosciutto. It's like the same idea of champagne, for example. Can only be produced in Champagne,
right.
France. If not produced there, we cannot sell this. Mm-hmm.
Now, for listeners who have not come across, as we have, your wonderful products, what is it that makes San Daniele so uniquely wonderful?
Oh, that's a good question. So San Daniele, it's unique. As I told you, like we produce in San Daniele region, so we can only be produced there. But also all the climate, so they are like the region is between the Adriatic and Carnic Alps and sea. So then we receive like the prosciutto receives the warmer breeze, and then like the fresh breeze from the Alps. And then all the microclimate context, it's kind of what makes the prosciutto unique. All the process, so it's kind of handmade, you know, in this region. And then it's all like the process is like we follow all the genetic heritage, the Italian breeds, select breeds. Then after we kind of use the traceability to trace all the process. And they are fed with like vegetarian food with high quality like cereals and whey. And we produce like we have been producing San Daniele the same traditional way for like more than 2,000 years, so never changed. And it's just like we say like three ingredients: it's pork leg, natural sea salt, and then the air. So that's all.
Now are there very particular breeds of pigs that are used in the San Daniele?
Yeah. We use we can use like three different type of breeds, but the main popular one is Duroc. So it's like one breed that we use, and there's like Landrais and Large White. So this is like the three different breeds that we can use.
Now we were at the Fancy Food Show in New York one year a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we engaged in conversation with someone who it was not your company, it was a different company altogether. But he somehow got into an explanation of why San Daniele was so much better than ham from Parma.
Yeah.
You would undoubtedly say the same, right?
No, they have like few different and San Daniele, it's more like unique, you know, and then we just have like 31 producers in Italy that produce that. It's in the northeast of Italy, and then we have like a consortium that approves all the products that we produce, And it's only like, we can only produce like a certain quantity. It's very small. So it's like 2 million like per year. While Parma, it's more like broad production, you know, so we can produce, we have more than 100 producers in Italy. We produce kind of, we can produce 7 million legs. And it's a different region. So Sanmenere is more exclusive because of the region, because of the process, and also it's kind of limited edition. You know, we cannot produce a lot of legs or a lot of prosciutto. That's why it's like more expensive. And then the flavor, the color, the aroma, it's really different, really different. Then like if you taste Sanmenere.
I've been on a guilt trip. Since we got the San Daniele that you sent us, and I moved to such an extent of love for San Daniele that I would open the packages and eat a slice just before going to bed.
Yeah, that's cool.
The reason why is the flavor is so incredibly delicate, wouldn't you say?
It is.
I mean, if you were trying to pick a word to describe Daniele, it would be what I just said. It would be very special. And
yeah, you're right. Like we say that the delicacy of the product is unique. You don't need anything else to weave with prosciutto San Daniele. It's just like, as you said, you just eat the slice and then your life gets better.
Well,
well
know,
I'm glad I'm the only one who does that.
No.
As I've been talking to people about Principe, the hook on the whole thing, of course, is the Summer Fancy Food Show from the Specialty Food Association. And the company, as I came to understand it, is moving to make a big push in the U.S. to expand the market, to expand how the U.S. market perceives the style and scope of the product. You're using the Fancy Food Show in New York City, the June Fancy Food Summer Fancy Food Show, to expand this understanding and this market. Could you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, somebody said that that you're launching new products, and also that your booth concept is fairly unique and should be noted. Could you address that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that was a good point. So we launched the Principe brand in Winter Fancy Food. That was beginning of this year. And then now we are back on the Summer Fancy Food that's going to be in New York. Then the idea behind the booth was like, okay, we are an Italian brand, but we don't want to just bring like the heritage and all like the old world. We also want to bring like the modernity of the Italy. So we were thinking about what we could like bring as a different concept for the booth, as we are like new in the, like pretty new in US, we are like developed a new brand. So we thought about all, you know, like the authentic Italian outdoor street market with like vibrant colors, unique flavor, like bringing all the atmosphere of Italy with like the most exclusive outdoor market. So our booth we call like evening mercato. That means like mercato means market. So we kind of want to bring this outside experience that you go through all the outdoor street market in Italy and you see that they are selling food, a lot of fruit, there are like people talking. It's kind of a very welcome environment. So we kind of built the street market scene with a large printed backdrop in wall with San Daniele Street. So the time that people get inside of our booth, they can feel that they are inside of Italy, but not like the old Italy, the modern, the vibrant one. And then we also do like a large cover food card that we have all the products and we are sampling as our own display in different prominent area on the booth, like the center area. So when you go inside, you will see this. And then we are showcasing our main product, Prosciutto San Daniele. We hang on the top of the car, as you can see, like when you go to Italy, all the prosciutto hanging. Then we can show like the authenticity of the product.
So, are you a veteran of these fancy food shows? Have you been to a lot of them?
Not really, to be honest. But we made a lot of research because fancy food is kind of, if you are not unique, you are not differentiated from your main competitors. So we kind of spent a lot of time in thinking how we are going to bring something different that we can endorse the Italian heritage, but at the same time bring modernity for the brand.
Well, you're going to certainly enjoy it. If you like a lot of activity, you're going to enjoy the fancy food shows. There's always something exciting going on there. Did you have any questions about the specialty food coverage or anything like that we should talk about? I mean,
You just mentioned about what products we are going to launch. So can I talk a little bit more about the products that we are going to bring for fancy food?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Okay, perfect. So we are going to be showcasing around like 15 items that we currently have on our portfolio. Pancetta, coppa, peperoncino, soppressata, robusto, nova, that is like salami. And of course, our Prosciutto San Daniele, that is the hero of our brand and booth. And also now we are going to bring some snacking items that we didn't have in our category. So like people can eat on the go because we saw that snacking is increasing, protein snacking, it's increasing a lot. And then also we are bringing more like trios. That means we are offering three types of prosciutto and salami at the same tray. So then people can, like, do parties and, you know, like, build a different salumi board because our brand is focused, like, entertainment in people. So people that kind of like to bring people together to celebrate or, like, to do a fine dining at house. So we kind of have the two occasions here, the ones that they can eat on the go for our new snacking line, and also the one that they can kind of offer and find products to, like, their friends, family, and then they just, like, can buy one trio, like the tray one, and then it's able to offer, like, three different types of products. So this is going to be our launch for fancy food and also a different prosciutto that we produce here in Italy with the same process that we have in Italy. That is like the main launch that we have.
Well, it sounds like you're in for a lot of fun and a lot of activity. I'm so glad you found the time to talk to us. I appreciate that. Do you have anything else you want to know, Rabbit?
No. I'm lusting after more San Daniele as we speak.
Oh, yeah. So.
This stuff is really, really good.
Yeah, it really is.
Yep.
So I guess we should just have one little note about where to find it and how do you get a hold of it if anybody's listening who wants to get some of it.
You were saying, like, where they can find our products?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, great. So nowadays we are like in nationwide in Whole Foods. We are also North California at Costco. We also can find us in Sam's Club, food service, like all restaurants. We have some partnerships. And also we are like selling with a small retailer that we call like Murray's Cheese. So you can find all San Daniele's life there. So we kind of like are going baby steps, but we are in like the main retailers that you can find us. And more to come, for sure.
Well, I'm glad we had the opportunity to tell you how much we've enjoyed your product, and we wish you great success, which you're surely going to have. What?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Karina, and thank you for working with us on this whole project and all our contact with Principe. Listeners, again, look for the brand Principe. Look for the brand San Daniele for prosciutto and deli meats, and have fun. Continue to have fun, Karina.
Thank you. Yeah, we are trying, you know, like, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Talk to you again, I'm sure.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. We really appreciate that.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.